It's good to see everybody tonight. Got a big crowd, and this has been a very full week. It's been a very fast week for me, but very full, and so thankful for the opportunity to be here with you all, and grateful to God for the opportunity to be able to do this with you this week. Thankful for all of you as well, with the invitation that you've extended to me and my family, and for all of the hospitality that you've shown. It's been a very blessed week, and I thank you all for that. Thankful that I got to spend time with my brother, Tyler, and his family today who live here in Lakeland. That was a great joy. Got to spend time with the Wisdoms in their home. Appreciate your hospitality tonight. And others were able to join in all of that as well. Clay and Tabitha and their family. It's so great to see you guys growing. And just a wonderful, wonderful time. And I'm a very sentimental guy, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot more time giving thanks right now. But I do want to express very much my gratitude to God and to you all. This indeed has been a great week for me and my soul. It's been great for my wife and our children to be here. So thank you all. I'm going to be turning in my Bible here to the book of Romans now, and I would like for us to turn there together. I'm going to be in Romans 5 here in just a moment, reading from Romans chapter 5. But as we're turning there, just to have you know that this lesson I put together here recently in light of a lot of the violence that we see going on in the news and in the world around about us. And when you keep your eyes open and you do see that we are in a broken world that is marred by violence, I mean, you think about assassinations of political people, or people who are at the center of attention in the public sphere. You think about all of the wars that are going on in the world. You think about mass shootings and all of the division and hatred that is spewed in media. There's lots of folks who are crying out for peace, and they're looking in a lot of the wrong places to have that peace established. They'll look for peace through government intervention, wanting peace treaties to be negotiated and signed, or all kinds of efforts made by men. But in John 14, verse 27, Jesus declared, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's John 14, 27. I want for us to be thinking about peace tonight, but I want for us to be thinking about the peace that is available in Christ. And the peace in which Jesus gives to us is not the type of peace that is necessarily absent of conflict, but through the presence of Jesus Himself. And so we'll be considering how we can live at peace in a world of conflict together tonight. And I ask for us to go to Romans chapter 5 to begin with, because this is a passage that was written in the first century to Christians, to the saints in Rome. And in talking about that which is available in Christ, Romans chapter 5, from my understanding, deals a lot with the grace that is afforded to Christians in Christ. In chapter 6, we're going to see that Paul would say, don't allow the grace that you have in Christ, to give you license to sin. But about that grace that's in Christ, there in Romans 5, beginning with verse 1, he says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, having been justified, having been made whole, having been restored spiritually, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We have received the reconciliation through the grace of Jesus Christ. We've been justified. And we once were enemies, but now we have been brought near. In all of this, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul is saying, you know, here you once were. You had sinned against God and you were at enmity with God, but now because of Jesus Christ, you've been brought near. You've been reconciled. And so if God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you, how much more is that love? How much greater is that love now that you've been reconciled, now that you've been brought near? We talk about living at peace in a world filled with violence, in a world filled with conflict. We talk about folks grasping for peace. We need to help folks understand the only true peace that we can find is going to be found in Jesus Christ. And people do need to understand that there's a great wrestling that takes place, that needs to take place within their soul in order to come to Jesus, to recognize the consequence of sin and how horrible those consequences are and alienating us from God. Only then can we appreciate what Jesus has done for us and bringing us near. And I believe that here on a Friday night with a group like this, most folks in here recognize that. This is an encouraging passage for us. I hope that it will be encouraging for us. That's why we're bringing it forth tonight. But peace begins with reconciliation to God. Another passage we could turn to regarding this idea would be in the book of Colossians. If you would, please turn with me to Colossians. Colossians 1, looking at verses 19 on down. Here we have kind of the same principles echoed, some of them. Look at verse 19, Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in Him the fullness, all the fullness, should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away by the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So often we find in the epistles the message for Christians to remember where they've come from, how dark things were prior to their conversion, so that they will be thankful, so that we can continue in humility and appreciate all that God has done for us in sending His Son to die for our sins. We all need that reminder. First century Christians needed that reminder. We need those reminders as well. And so often, as we read through the letters to the Christians, we find the necessity for us to remember where we've come from, just how far we have fallen, and how much grace cost for us to be reconciled. We can see passages like Isaiah 53, very familiar passage. We often go to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, in talking about the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Isaiah 53, beginning there with verse 4, it says, "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Speaking of the Christ, this is foretelling of that. "Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." The cross stands as the ultimate act of peacemaking. Jesus bore hostility so that we could be reconciled. From reading and doing some research, come to find that there were those in the Roman world who observed Christians from various backgrounds, from various walks of life, who are brought together through Jesus Christ. Lots of barriers were broken down. And that was very perplexing for folks in the first century. For there to be a unity that transcended across social divisions, it was shocking for folks during that day. And so when we think about the modern world in which we live in, we recognize that there's nothing new under the sun. But peace begins not in politics or in life circumstances, but true peace is going to be found only when the soul is reconciled to God. There are folks who are pursuing peace in all sorts of different avenues. Folks are looking for financial freedom. You know, you can go to, you know, financial peace through following certain steps. That's how it's billed for some. There are folks who will seek to find peace through distractions, following after various pleasures that will provide a distraction in the short term. People will seek peace through medication, through therapy. Which is interesting. We have a brother in Christ that we worship with that I esteem very highly, who, when talking about subjects like this, has brought up on numerous occasions that, you know, there are certain particulars he can't bring up because he is in the mental health industry, and he's a licensed therapist, and there are certain particulars he can't share. But what he has shared is that so often what he has found in his working with others is that lots of folks struggle because of unresolved sin in their lives. And whether they recognize that consciously or subconsciously, it begins to weigh on them and magnify their anxieties. Thus, they come to him for guidance. So he does his best. He does his best in that realm to guide people with spiritual principles. But that just, to me, illustrates, you know, what we're talking about. We have real world examples of folks who are working with others who recognize that true peace begins with reconciliation to God. If you're looking for peace in your life, understand this. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, past tense, continue to fall short of the glory of God, and thereby need His grace continually. If we can recognize that and surrender all to Christ, then and only then can we find the peace that we are looking for in this world so full of darkness. Another thing that we might want to point out in a study like this is what we've already sung about tonight. In our worship to God, and as we have been admonishing one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, you know, we do realize that we have been entrusted with a great treasure along with the blessing of obtaining such a great treasure. It involves our sharing that which has been bestowed upon us. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. We've got the Beatitudes here. And in these Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, He opened up His mouth and He taught His audience, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 11, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." In the original, that word blessed means happy. You think about, well, if that's what the word means, happy, how can those who are, you know, in these dispositions, how could they be happy? Well, if you are looking at things through a spiritual lens, you do realize that a lot of this could be talking about, you know, those who yearn for more, those who recognize their life circumstances being a certain way, and yet they recognize they're poor in spirit, they need help from above. Well, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. And about those peacemakers, happy are peacemakers, those who have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We find joy in having our sins forgiven. What should be an automatic next step is for us to want to have others enjoying fellowship with God. Just as I have been brought near to God, I have been forgiven for my sins, I've been given peace with God through Jesus Christ, I've been reconciled to God through His blood, through the blood of Jesus. Now I want for my fellow man now to enjoy that same kind of peace with God. And that's the type of peacemaking in which we ought to be after if we're going to live as shining lights in a dark world. We can look around and we can hear sirens going on behind us. We can look around in the world and we can see that it's a dark place. If we watch the news at night, we can acknowledge that things seem to be getting darker. But you know, the darker things get, the brighter our light can shine. Let's turn together to Romans chapter 12, if we could. Romans chapter 12. in Romans chapter 12. Lots of practical application here on the back side of the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 15, it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." In connection with this, I ask that we would turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12, beginning there with verse 12 on down. I want for us to keep in mind that in this context, the Hebrew writer is telling Hebrew Christians that they'd not yet resisted to bloodshed. They might be going through some difficulty, but you know, there could be some more difficulty on the horizon. But about that difficulty, understand this: some of it can be good for your soul. Just as you had earthly fathers who disciplined you, we recognize that maybe we didn't appreciate some of that discipline while it was going on, but we recognize that it was good for us. Well, we have a heavenly Father that can sometimes allow difficulties to continue in our lives. We have a heavenly Father who may bring about, even actively, some difficulties in our lives for our betterment, for our growth spiritually. He does that because He loves us. Verse 12, "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." About Esau being a profane person, that wording speaks to him being that type of person who did not recognize or at least take seriously or value the things he should have taken seriously. He did not value the things that he should have valued. And so therefore, he treated his birthright as some common thing that he could just sell. And then afterward, he sought it diligently with tears, but it was too late. Look carefully. Look carefully, lest you be that type of person that allows just a small bit of bitterness to overtake you and just pollute all of the good that you have at your disposal. Pursue peace with all, holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Make straight paths for your feet. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Living as peacemakers in a hostile world requires for us to follow the example of Christ. And there are times in which that could pose some difficulty. That could be challenging for us to be a peacemaker. Joseph of the Old Testament forgave his brothers who had sinned against him in the extreme. Stephen prayed for those who were killing him. Early Christians oftentimes were viewed as weak because they did not retaliate when they were being persecuted. And you know what? Today, sometimes it's very challenging. It's very challenging to pray for your enemies. Sometimes it can be a challenge. You know, when you think about what Jesus taught concerning how to pray, even for your own forgiveness, Father, you know, forgive me as I forgive others. How reluctant or how open are we to pray such a prayer? Jesus, he has inaugurated his kingdom. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. But as we await his return and as we await the judgment, we understand that there is much work to be done. And with the peace that we have now spiritually, the peace that we have been afforded through Jesus Christ, we've been given a great blessing, but also great responsibility. And what we can do is when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances with those who would mistreat us, spitefully use us, we can speak words that heal. We can pray. We can pray for inner peace, that we would have the strength to do as Christ and to extend peace unto others. All people, not just those who have our back, not just those that tell us we're doing a good job, but yes, even those who spitefully use us, for those who speak against us, who speak evil of us. If we want to live at peace in a world full of conflict, it demands that we become peacemakers. And if we can have that mentality, it will work to sustain us amid suffering and violence. I love to point things out in context and then make the point from there, because it seems to me that those types of applications really are the stronger ones. And in John 16, if you could turn there with me, John 16, this is the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He is going to be talking to his apostles about departing for a time. And he's speaking to them about how he is going to give them the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And as he goes away, he talks about how the hour was coming in which the apostles would be scattered, each to his own. They would leave him alone, verse 32. And yet, he says, I am not alone because the Father is with me. He says in verse 33, these things I have spoken to you that in me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Philippians, the book of Philippians. Got on the PowerPoint here behind me, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Remember that the Apostle Paul is on house arrest as he's writing this letter. And he speaks an awful lot about rejoicing in the Lord. And he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. This is Philippians 4, verse 5. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. The way I understand that is the Lord is near. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He then goes on to talk about, verse 8, you know, the things that are true, whatever are noble or just, pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So often, one of the things I think we find ourselves lacking in is that inner peace. Maybe sometimes we are subjective in our thinking about what true anxiety is versus what, you know, true peace is. What we need to do is trim the fat and get down to, you know, what the scriptures are talking about. But, you know, back to the point in which our good brother up in Pensacola made about those who are seeking peace but yet are unresolved in the conflict of their mind and of their heart spiritually. Going back to thinking about that, can we acknowledge that we live in a world full of distractions? So often, I find I'm pulling my phone out and I'm opening up to pull out an app and I click on it and I'm there for about less than 10 seconds and realize, why am I here? There's nothing here for me to look at. I'll close it and put it back in my pocket. And 30 seconds later, I'm doing it again. Have you ever found yourself doing that? Maybe it's time to trim the fat when it comes to distractions. Look, if you're anxious about anything, you know what you can do? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul says? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He then goes on to talk about meditating on good things, giving your mind over to good things, things that are profitable for the mind and for the heart, even for your emotions. Turn with me, if you will, to the 46th Psalm. Psalm 46. 46th Psalm. Got verses 1 and 2 on the PowerPoint. It says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, just as at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I've never had to go spend a night in the lion's den. But I can imagine that Daniel took comfort in his God. And the Lord rescued him. I've never spent a night in prison, being jailed because of my preaching the truth. But I imagine Paul and Silas finding comfort in God as they were singing hymns and praying. When God manifested His presence And then they had opportunity to share their faith. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. When you think about Jesus calming the storm in Mark chapter 4, you might be mindful of the fact that we do sing. We do sing words to God and to one another. Some things that are reflected here in this gospel account. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, we see when Jesus was with his disciples and they were going to go across the sea. They had left the multitudes. They took along him in the boat. Other little boats were also with him. In verse 37, it says, "A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" In times in which there's all kinds of things going on that would cause, anxiety, when the television is showing us just how bad and how evil the world is, you're seeing there's wars going on, and our political officials are making decisions and all of that. When you look and you see that there are assassinations going on, when you see there's local trouble here in your community, when you have all of that going on and there's upheaval at work, at school, even perhaps within the local congregation, can you go back in your mind, can you think about some good brethren that you have known who have been a steady calm in the midst of a storm? Where do they get their strength from? Is it externally? Is it from somebody else rubbing elbows with them? Or is it from God Almighty? You look back over their life. Aren't they the ones who are sharing their faith? Aren't they the ones who are able to be a stable force when they're being wrongfully accused about things in which they have not committed? I tell you, I want to be a whole lot more like those individuals who are clinging to Christ. You know, there's no magic elixir. Go back to the Word of God. Pray about what you're reading. Apply it to your life. There's lots of self-help books out there. Folks making a lot of money selling self-help books. But if we would just read, study, meditate, and do as God tells us to in His Word, it'll go a long way in helping us to remain calm when the storms come. Not if, but when the storms come. Peace is what will sustain us amid suffering and violence. For those of you in my life, in this congregation, and the neighboring ones as well, who have been a solid, solid Christian in the midst of great difficulty, I appreciate your example. I really do. And it's something that is not forgotten on my part. I appreciate your example. I appreciate your example, and I appreciate your instruction in pointing me to the Lord. Our last point concerns practicing peace in our daily life. Practicing peace. I say practicing. Sometimes when we think about practicing, we think, well, I'm practicing now, and then I'm going to get in the game later. It'll be the real thing later. No, I'm talking about living this out. That's how we're using the word practice right now. Going back to the book of Colossians in chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Allow that to happen. Open your heart, open your mind for God's peace to rule, to have dominion in your heart. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, in your speaking and in your doing, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of, by the authority of, Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Also have Ephesians. Ephesians 6, this is a passage that deals with the whole armor of God, the need to put the whole armor of God, recognizing that there are spiritual threats that we need to be aware of. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, of which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Practicing peace in daily life. What does the Lord require of us except to walk humbly with the Lord? I think about biblical examples of those who have brought peace to others. Naomi. Naomi had a difficult time going back home. How about Ruth's loyalty to Naomi? Ruth's loyalty to the one true God. Do you think that helped bring some peace to Naomi? Barnabas, Mr. Encouragement, the guy who vouched for Saul of Tarsus, you know, the fellow who used to cause others to blaspheme God, dragged off women, even cast his vote against them to have them put to death. Barnabas vouched for Saul when Saul truly repented. Barnabas also went to Antioch and encouraged the brethren to continue in the grace of the Lord. I will say this, I don't believe that we all can appreciate Barnabas as being Mr. Encouragement. Sometimes maybe we think he's that guy with the toothy grin that slaps folks on the back and say, attaboy, Kevin, keep up the great work. I believe that that is encouraging. But I also believe that edification requires sometimes some admonishing and even rebuking. And I am convinced, with Barnabas having going out with the Apostle Paul, that they did a lot of encouraging, admonishing, and rebuking. But going about talking to others about the reconciliation that is found only in Jesus Christ, living that out in their life and encouraging others to do the same. In a world that's filled with hate, you find it at every stop, even on your computer screens and the television that you're carrying around in your pocket, your cell phone. We can be a source of comfort. We can be a source of peace if we will live our faith and point others to Jesus. And just as far as some practical application goes, I could have got up here and talked about the need to pray and to study and titled the whole lesson, the need to pray and to study God's Word. We've not done that. But you know, praying and studying God's Word will go a long way in establishing peace in your life if you will pay attention to what God has to say. Peace will grow where Christ rules. Another thing that we ought to be thinking about is this. Be quick to forgive. If someone has done us wrong, or we even think that perhaps we've done wrong against another, let's be those individuals that want to establish peace. Peace, one with another, yes, but that we would all be at peace with God. And that the byproduct of that peace with God, in that we will all be thereby in fellowship and at peace with one another. And let's be sharing the gospel of peace as we have opportunity. In conclusion, brethren, the world's peace, the peace that is being promoted, is often just a facade. It's a mirage. It's illusory. It's cheap. It's passing. It's temporary. It's fragile. But Christ's peace is unshakable and it's eternal. It's rooted in the cross and the resurrection of Christ. Let's be those individuals who can simply embody Christ in our daily living and be a light to others in this world of darkness. I'm going to leave you with this passage, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, where the Apostle Paul wrote these words by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Would you please bow your heads with me and let's say a prayer together. Our holy God, our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come to this place tonight in your name. We thank you, Father, for the grace. We thank you for the peace that you have afforded to us through your Son and his sacrifice for our sins. God, we're very encouraged by so many people coming to this place on a Friday night. We're very encouraged by this congregation putting together a meeting like this. And we just pray, Father, that our efforts tonight and our efforts this week have been well-pleasing in your sight. Father, if there is anything lacking in our lives, we do pray, Father, for wisdom and knowledge, that we might come to know what is necessary for us to be reconciled to you, to be reconciled with our fellow man in you. God, we ask your special blessings to be upon this congregation. We ask your special blessings to be upon the good brethren who are assembled together in this place from various locations. And Father, we ask that you will be with us as we depart from this place tonight. We do pray, Father, that these efforts have not only been well-pleasing to you, but also that we may be edified and built up through times like this. Father, may we look to you in everything that we say, everything that we do. And Father, may you bestow your peace upon us continually. Sustain us, Father, in all things that you would be glorified. It's in Jesus we pray and give thanks. Amen. I do appreciate everyone being here tonight, being here this week. As we're about to wrap things up, we do want to extend the Lord's invitation. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we would love to assist you in that. If you'll believe on Jesus, if you will repent, that is, turn away from a lifestyle of sin, confess your belief in Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, you can come forward tonight. You could be baptized for the remission of your sins. And Jesus will add you to His church. We would love to help you in that. If you've already done that, but you've gone back to the mire, or you've been struggling with sin, you need prayers on your behalf. The brethren here are ready to assist you. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to pray for you. But all of us are about to sing an invitation song. So let us all be determined that we're going to think about these words, and we're going to leave here at peace with God tonight. And we're going to leave here at peace with one another tonight. Let us be determined to do that, all of us, and respond accordingly. As together we stand and we sing.